Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, what's happening? How are you today? We got a lot to discuss. Tiki and Tierney here on a Wednesday across the country. Set up inside of the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get Mortgage here. Hopefully everybody's well. Hopefully your day is going well. Off to a good start. Next 3 hours, we got you here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, radio.com, on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney. Usually Teak is off today, but obviously you might want to pop in and shoot Teak a little tweet at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Wow, this is an interesting development in the NFL, huh? And we didn't get the, and we just really had the remnants. We had no stake. We really had nothing to really cut open yesterday. We found out, I don't know, because we blew off the blast for this. So we found out probably 3 or 4 minutes, right as we were getting ready to go into the blast, we actually got word that this workout is going to happen on Saturday for Colin Kaepernick down in Atlanta. Wow. Okay. Where do you start? First of all, I think the best place to start is whether or not it's solely a PR stunt, or it's partially a PR stunt. And you know what? I don't really think it matters. And let me tell you why. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's pretty shady. I mean, let's face it. The conventional off day here is the conventional evaluation day around the NFL is Tuesdays. And now this is Saturday. And all of the scouts will be dispatched across the country. All the prominent personnel people will be, you know, at SEC stadiums across the country, and, you know, the Big 12 or the Big 10, and filling out their notes, getting ready for the draft, right? And the coaches will either be traveling, you know, the actual coaches that will be coaching on Sunday will either be traveling or preparing for home games. So who is going to be there? All right, so obviously it's a bit dubious on that level. The fact that they called up Colin Kaepernick and said, hey, Colin, you've got 2 hours. 2 hours. And there's no wiggle room. No wiggle room to the day. We're not gonna bounce it back to another Saturday. 2 hours. Take it or leave it, pal. All right, well, let me just tell you how most business works. If you're really valued, you generally have a little more than 2 hours to evaluate. You know, whether it's my CBS Sports Radio contracts or my TV contracts or what I did this summer with Discovery, they didn't call up and say, hey, you got 2 hours, you know, mull it over and let us know. You know, there's back and forth. There's give and take. There's flexibility. Yes, I think most of this is a PR stunt. I do. I really do. But you know what's interesting? That doesn't mean that Colin Kaepernick can't benefit from said PR stunt. Why not? Listen, here's what's going to happen. He's not going to get signed on Saturday, even if he wows him. And he says he's in shape. I believe him. You know, he's got the kind of body that's not going to get heavy. So he's going to be, you know, in good shape. You know, it's not like, say, you know, Dante Culpepper. I don't know. I'm just pulling names out of the past. Or who's another guy that, you know, if he, like Jamarcus Russell, when he let it go, he let it go. I mean, Colin Kaepernick is a thin, you know, quick twitch athlete. And he's been keeping his arm loose. So his arm's going to be good. He's not going to sign Saturday. What this will do is this will, I don't care how good he is, he's not signing Saturday. This will open up dialogue, okay? And this will open up an avenue for other teams to say, all right, he did keep himself in shape. Okay, probably more importantly, definitely more importantly, he said, because the interview is going to be a big part of this, what we needed to hear organizationally, and you know what I mean by that. And because things are in alignment and we might have a hole at quarterback, whether it's as a starter, which I don't think is really plausible right now, or a backup, which I certainly think is, look around the NFL, there's a million scrubs playing. I mean, God, Brian Hoyer, play stop. So I do think that If Colin Kaepernick is serious about playing football, and you need to understand this, yes, when this conversation comes up, Teak and I have had this exchange a million times. We both wish, and I rarely speak for anybody but myself, but Teak is my partner. This was one of the biggest topics that we've ever done in terms of energy, vitriol, passion. Everybody weighed in, and I know where my guy stands, and I know where I stand. And we both wished he would have communicated his desire to play a little bit more boldly, if you will. However, don't lose sight of these two facts. Number one, he never requested a certain salary. No matter what you hear out there, don't get it twisted. He never came in with specific contractual demands. Fact. Fact number two, never once told an NFL team, I will not be a backup. Fact. Everything else is a little mixed signals and positioned for reasons, a little murky. Those are two facts. Trust me on that. Listen, and this is not being callous or this is not being whatever. I don't really care if Colin Kaepernick plays football. I don't. He's in his 30s. I don't miss him. I don't hate him. I understand where he's coming from, a lot of it. But I've also said, you know, and not to be repetitive here, but when he busted out those socks of the police officer in the caricature as a pig, I'm not totally in your corner, and I never will be. That doesn't mean the man doesn't deserve a chance to get his career back, for sure. And, you know, in terms of how he's comported himself, he's been pretty graceful. I mean, he really has been. And he's donated money, and this guy, and he's kept himself ready. You know, anybody who's done a story with him communicates the same message. He has a passion to play football. And Jason LaCanfora, he's written that many times. He met him at a hotel, I guess it was a year and a half ago. I mean, Jason's one of his biggest champions. I don't think the NFL needs Colin Kaepernick. I don't. You might disagree, and I certainly respect that. And you know the number. If you don't, it's 855-212-4227. Come on in. We're taking a lot of calls, obviously. I don't think the NFL needs Colin Kaepernick. But I do think the NFL needs to get past this haziness of exactly what happened. Collusion, you hear that a lot. You know, blackball, you hear that a lot. This is the NFL's way, you know, like in one broad brush, one swooping motion, I believe, disarming their biggest critics. Hey, how could we collude? How could we blackball? We set this up for him. That's the part where you have to say, all right, that's true. They are. I mean, they are doing this in Atlanta at the Mercedes-Benz Dome. The memo's out to all the teams. I got a list of some of the ones that are going. Obviously, the Falcons will be there. The Bears are going to be there. The Cowboys will be there. Detroit's going to be there. The Chargers will be there. And the Dolphins will be there. We'll play a cut for it. The Broncos, that's added? Okay, thank you. Well, if anybody should be there, it's the Broncos. That's for damn sure. I mean, John Elway, I mean, geez, the guys he's drafted. Colin Kaepernick is three times as good. He hasn't thrown a ball in 2 years. The bottom line is this. It's fishy. The bottom line is this. It's ill-timed. It's oddly placed. It's weird. It's hastily put together. No doubt. Common sense, street sense, of course. Colin, 2 hours, take it or leave it. Well, I mean, I prefer to do it on a Tuesday. Can't do it. Well, how about we do it the next Saturday? Can't do it. I mean, you know, they're not exactly giving the guy options. But they are giving him a chance with an invitation to everybody to go and see where he's at. And to thaw whatever ice might remain in the front offices, plural, of some teams that that could use a backup who might eventually elevate to a starter spot, like the Bears. I mean, you know, if Colin Kaepernick was in shape and he was on the Bears roster, you better believe he's playing. And you better believe he's better than Mitch Trubisky. So, you know, I'm in a strange place because I really do see it from both sides. Yes, of course, it's incredibly transparent what the NFL's doing. They're trying to see it their own behinds. I believe that. But in trying to do that, they're also providing a branch that if Colin Kaepernick has truly been getting up at 4:30 or 5 in the morning to throw that pigskin around and keep himself in shape, his body's ready, and he'll go and he'll impress, and he will probably wind up on an NFL roster next season. I think it's a little bit too rushed this year. You get him in OTAs, acclimate him to the system. I mean, not going to sign him and then start him in a week. That's completely implausible from a quarterback point of view, you know? wide receiver, defensive end, whatever. Yeah, quarterback, no, that can't happen. You got to know the playbook. It's unrealistic. But, I mean, that's my two takeaways. I believe that it's a lot of it is derived from a publicity ploy from the NFL so they can finally say, no matter what you think, here's what we're doing. Like, here's something tangible. Rather than react to what you think we did behind closed doors, as many of us do, here's what we're actually doing. And maybe even, I don't know that they're thinking this, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Even if they did make mistakes in the past, maybe this is their way of trying to correct it, you know, and move forward. And now it's about, you would hope, meritocracy. You know, if he earns a spot, he will be given a spot. And that's all you could ask for, you know? But I do think, you know, and listen, this has been twisted so many ways. You have to realize, going back to the start of this, that he never had a contract demand, nor did he ever tell the team, like blatantly tell them directly, pointedly, I will not be a backup. And those are things that certain people have taken and run with and, you know, infused within their verbal ammunition to further their point. And again, listen, if you're just tuning in, I don't care if Colin Kaepernick never plays again. I really don't give a rat's behind. I don't care. I don't care. I care about fairness, and I care about opportunity, and I care about getting past what was a strange, dark, ugly, and ultimately unnecessary chapter in the now 99 season, 100 year history of the NFL. You know, bygones be bygones. There's an old expression, you know, and it's not just said by mobsters in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Let bygones be bygones. Sometimes you've got to let bygones be bygones. And I'm very curious how he performs. I think he'll throw the ball well because he's one of these natural throwers. I said to Tiki yesterday, played baseball in college, threw 90 plus. He's got a rocket. Just remember what he did with the Niners. Rocket. He had a big-time arm and very fast, very quick twitch. So that's how I, you know, peel back the rind, so to speak, as, you know, as I attack this first glance. Yes, it's fishy, no doubt about it. But if you want to play, here's your shot. Go for it. 855-212-4227. Yeah, the timing's definitely odd. You know, and it's not like, this is the one thing that's a little striking to me. Have you really heard anybody clamoring, you know, either pro or con Colin Kaepernick's case? Really this season? Not really. And maybe because a lot of the backups have actually performed well, you know, outside of, Brian Hoyer, whatever, but Kyle Allen, a lot of these guys have stepped in and played very well. They've played good, solid, strong, fundamental winning football. There's examples all over the league. You know this. Cam goes down, Kyle, good. So we'll get our answers. I am very curious how you view this. I'm sure there's some skeptics and detractors. I'm sure there's some who are enthralled with this. Me, you know, again, opportunity is great. I don't need to see Colin Kaepernick play football again. I don't. I really don't care. I mean, I really have no dog in this fight, except what I could not be more honest with my audience than what I told you 7, 8, 9 minutes ago. My dad's a retired detective. We are very proud of that because I know my dad was a good, loyal, honest servant to the city of New York. So, you know, the other things, which are real on levels for sure, no doubt, that's not how I was raised, and that's not how I view the shield, and I never will. So when he wore what he wore, he lost me, but on a visceral, emotional level. But when I step back from that, and I'm more pragmatic, he deserves this chance. He does. There's no doubt in my mind. He really, truly does. So that's where I stand. 855-212-4227. We're rolling with this the whole first hour. Next hour, are you kidding me with these Houston Astros? The Astros. Rob Manfred's got a big problem on his hands. And if he doesn't act swiftly, decisively, and with a heavy hand, he should be kicked out of the commissioner's office. I can't wait to get to that. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. 1-855-212-4CBS.
Brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Very interesting stuff. Seemingly out of nowhere with the NFL with Colin Kaepernick. Dropped yesterday late in the day. Obviously, it's the main story today. And, you know, we'll get these calls here in a second. You can take it in whichever direction you want. You know that that's how we do these shows. Open dialogue. Respect each other's points. Tuesday is Universal Scout Day. And, you know, unless it's like a real unique situation where a franchise has an injury to a kicker, like a specialist position. We got to get somebody in the building on Friday. You know, our kicker's groin isn't healed or his hamstring's still barked, and we got to find somebody to kick in Atlanta on Sunday or in Carolina. But generally, he's behind the eight ball here. I mean, because very few prominent people will be there. No doubt, that's the easy part. Everybody can recognize that. They're obviously, they're orchestrating this in a way that kind of fits their messaging somewhat. But number one, that doesn't mean that he can't benefit if he performs. And more directly, again, I said this to start the show. He's not going to get signed on Saturday, even if he's throwing darts and he runs a 4.3 40. He's not going to get signed Saturday. But what will happen is that this will now get him in the buildings of other franchises if they view him as a desirable commodity at this point and they hear what they want to hear, because the interview is going to be big. And that will facilitate conversation, which very well might lead to employment. And at that point, what else do you want? All right, let's get some calls, see what you're thinking. 1-855-212-4227. Let's start with Nevada. Greg is up, 94.1 FM. Greg is on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Greg?
All right, BT, how you feeling, man?
I'm pretty good, buddy. How you doing today, man?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Hey, good. Listen, man, I agree with you on this one. Let bygones be bygones. The kid had his opportunity. He hasn't played in 3 years. Didn't he get paid already anyways off of an action suit against NFL?
Yeah, but not that much.
It's all, you know, that's in the eye of the beholder.
Oh, true.
You know, how you live it.
That's true. He's also donated a lot of money.
And that's wonderful. I just think he used the platform in the wrong way. You're not standing for this flag. You're not standing for this country. He could have used the platform and did it in a different way, I felt. I don't think he really, at this point, come on. He's not going to run a 4-3. He had his biggest game against the Packers in the playoffs a few years ago.
Yep.
Teams didn't really have tape on him, BT. Come on.
Here's the thing, Greg. You might be right, and I don't disagree. I don't view him as somebody who's going to come in and save a franchise. Thanks for the call there, buddy. And what was that, 181 yards rushing in that playoff game against the Packers? A quarterback rushing record, which, by the way, just seems like any year Lamar Jackson is going to break that record, I would think. 181. Double check that. I think it was a 181 against the Packers when he was at his apex with the 49ers. How much money he's made really is immaterial to the conversation because, it's in the eye of the beholder. And, you know, what I make versus what Tiki made as a giant versus what my dad made as a detective, whatever, it's all relative to your lifestyle. So that's really not fair. The fairest angle and the most common ground here is opportunity. Once you get an opportunity, listen, this isn't like, well, you know, this is Little League, and because I'm the coach and my son really should be batting ninth and probably be playing right field, I'm going to put him in the third spot and put him at shortstop. I mean, you could get away with certain things, manipulating certain things, even admissions to certain colleges. And I don't mean paying, because you can go to jail for that, as we know, or at least get in serious trouble. I mean at lower level where meritocracy can be manipulated, all right? The NFL, you can either play or you can't. Because once you get out there and there's 11 guys charging you and you've got to survey the field from that position, you're either throwing darts, making the right reads, moving the sticks, and scoring points, or you're not. So everything else is, does he have it? Did he? It doesn't matter. It's what he has now. And that's up to the interpretation of each team, you know? Let's see here. Reggie's in Tampa. Reggie's a great caller. Reggie says, Cap... wants to talk some Cap, 10:40 a.m. What up, Reg? How you doing, buddy? I'm really curious how you see this. You've been a great caller. What's up, buddy?
Hey, BT, like I always tell you guys, thanks for educating and entertaining me on the ride.
No doubt,
man. You know, I understand, you know, I respect you guys to the utmost. And we don't have to always agree.
Sure.
The one thing you say that, you know, he lost you. See, he didn't lose me. I didn't agree with the pick Sox and the Castro, so some of the things there, but I got his message. Now, I'm an Air Force veteran. And all these people that are talking about him and sitting down, it's like, it's a free country.
Agreed.
We have freedom of speech and expression.
Mm-hmm.
So that never bothered me. I think people were trying to make that the issue. And I, so as being an African-American, I get where he was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So I missed your opening what actually transpired. But this is what I'll say about Cap. And I want to say one thing about the NFL MVP race, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
About Cap. I think that he deserves an opportunity. He was blackballed, no doubt about it. He had some missteps along the way, but I'll take Chicago and Miami right now. I think he could start, you know, fight unseen. I don't know what he looks like now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could probably start for those two teams. So if it's still his dream, it's not a right. I mean, it's not a right to play in the NFL, but I think he didn't kill anybody. He didn't beat women or anything. So I think he deserves the opportunity. And then the thing I want to say about the MVP race, I saw this show and I found it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It made me chuckle. It made me think. The top five candidates to me, in no particular order, are Lamar, Russ, Mahomes,
McCaffrey.
Who am I missing?
McCaffrey. Yep.
And I'm missing one quarterback. Oh, Houston, Texas.
You still put Rodgers there? You said Deshaun.
Deshaun Watson, yeah. And you can throw Rodgers in there. But tell me this. When was the last time you saw the top five candidates for our black quarterback and one is a white running back?
Never.
It kind of dismisses the stereotype about the black quarterback.
Yep.
We change life and the white running back.
There's no doubt. Reg, we've joked about that. We've said that for a while. Thanks for the call, man. Keep doing your thing. Reggie's a great call down to Tampa. Love it. 10:40 a.m. Very good affiliate as well. Yeah, I mean, you've got – I think Rodgers is on the periphery now for sure. That performance 2 weeks ago when he had 174 yards total offense, he had a drop down or wrong. Now, if you ask me who's the MVP right now, I would vote for Russell Wilson. I also think that the performance of either Watson or Lamar Jackson, they play each other this week, the Texans and the Ravens on CBS, that game, that platform, that stage very well could elevate one of those two men past Russell Wilson. I'm still the Russell Wilson guy now, but they're coming. And C-Mac is in the mix as well. Yeah, listen, I mean, how many years away are we from having two white starting cornerbacks? I mean, we're gonna get to that point and so, I mean, it's crazy. You love to see stereotypes shattered. You know, the stereotype, and there's different stereotypes, and we know that. There's one of the intellect, and there's one of the physical prowess. And to be honest, and I just got to keep it real, I don't really think there's, you know, it's not like the white running back's been held down. I mean, if you can't run a 4.3 or a 4.4, you can't play running back. I mean, that's all there is to it. Like Peyton Hillis, you know, big, strong, lumbering guy. Remember him? He was actually on the cover of the Madden game. The white rhino. Boy, he fizzled fast, didn't he? But it's not like there's all these white running backs who are just, you know, hello, listen, you're white. We can't let you play running back, dude. We can't have this anymore. Get out. You're going to go do what Julian Edelman does. No. If you can run and you can bang and you can make people miss, you could play running back. The difference, and this obviously, thank God, is gone, but what was painful, and I remember talking to Stephen A. about this a lot, not painful for me because I'm white, but painful for the African-American community that loves football and the players who played the position, the black quarterback was marginalized because of the mind. That's the way it was positioned for a long time. No. He not smart enough. Can't lead men like that. So that's the painful. That's the much more painful one. If you can run a 4.3, get your track shoes out and go do it. People will sign you. It was the other thing. It was the other barrier that was trickier, much more unfair, and really polarizing. All right, 1-855-212-4227. How do you think he performs? Do you believe that the NFL is authentic in reaching out with Kaepernick? Think about the way this thing is structured. You got 2 hours to make a decision. Got to be Saturday. Got to be here, not Tuesday. He had a couple of requests that were rebuffed, but the window of opportunity is there, at least. It's a starting point. Do you think he signs? Does he sign this year? Does he sign next year? We'll get to inbounds, out of bounds as well. Hour two, the Astros. I mean, I'm just going to leave it at this. We'll get Axe update. Rob Manfred should be considering everything, and that includes stripping the Astros of their 2017 World Series title if these claims are true. And watch the videos. they are true. So I'll get to that as well. X update is right now. We'll get back to the calls on Cap. Go ahead, Rich.
Okay, good stuff here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to give us to ask us. Pardon me. Excuse me. Coming out 3, 2, and 1. Ask the pros here. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Diesel, what are you laughing at? What are you laughing at? Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros. Stick around. Listen later on. I will answer the most compelling one before we get out of here. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So the poll question, we'll get some inbounds, out of bounds questions coming up in a minute. I'll get a couple of calls before that here on Tiki and Tierney. Tiki is out, by the way, back tomorrow. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. I got a couple of polls. This is a dual poll day here. We're not crossing polls, are we? No, we're not doing that. Definitely don't want to do that. The first one, I'll save the other one for the other one's about the Astros. I cannot wait to get to that. I'll do that in 20 minutes, top of the hour. Astros got big problems on their hands, big ones. And if the commissioner doesn't handle this right, he's got a bigger problem on his hands. So, the NFL sets Kaepernick workout for Saturday with 5 days notice and 2 hours to decide. Is this a PR stunt or a legit opportunity for Kaepernick? First option, PR stunt. Second, legit effort by the NFL. You know, Mike framed that properly. There's really no other way to do it, but it is kind of a nuanced, layered answer for me. And as I said to start the show, and this is, you know, one of my stronger takeaways here as I look at this, I mean, anybody can regurgitate what we know already. 2 hours, he wanted it on Saturday. And no, we know that. But you have to understand that it could partially be a PR stunt, which I firmly believe that it is, but it could also be a PR stunt that benefits Colin Kaepernick. So you could have both things occur, and, you know, it could prove advantageous, or he could go there, not impress, or he can go there and impress physically and unimpress in the interview. When I mean unimpress, I mean deliver the wrong message for teams, convey the wrong message for teams. Because that is going to be a big part of the process. All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's see. Chris has us on the radio.com app. He's out in California. Chris is on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Chris? How you doing today?
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call today.
All right, Chris. Where are you in California, Chris? What part?
I'm in Santa Rosa, just north of San Francisco.
I got you. Very good area. Okay, I know where you're at. Go ahead, Chris. Talk to me.
So I think the one thing that always gets left out of the discussion on Colin Kaepernick is two words. His name is Blaine Gabbert.
Mm-hmm.
The dude got benched in favor of Blaine Gabbert, who's no longer in the league either. And I think that everybody just kind of shines that over, and we always forget that that's why he left the league, is because he was playing terribly. It had nothing to do with his social issues at the time.
That's not
it had to do with him playing
but Chris,
bad.
But Chris, that's partially true. First of all, his numbers his last year were actually pretty good. Listen, I'm with you in this regard. I believe they were largely hollow. What were they, 17 touchdowns and 4 picks, I want to say? 16 touchdowns, 4 picks? So the splits were good, but if you watched him play as I did, that was not representative necessarily of how he was playing. That trust me, I agree with you there. But he was also hurt. He had shoulder issues. He couldn't hit the weights. He got very thin. There were other things that derailed his career. It's not like he was, you know, 6 touchdowns and 17 picks and the NFL was like Josh Freeman, like, all right, get this guy out of here. He's terrible. No, he had some circumstances, Chris. You got to admit that.
Sure, I admit that there were some circumstances, but the whole thing, though, we always forget that he was benched. And that's always just left out of it.
Well, okay, fair enough. I appreciate the call, Chris. A lot of guys are benched. I mean, let me ask you a question. Is he better than Brian Hoyer? I mean, honestly, is he better than Brian Hoyer? I watched on Monday Night Football, my Jets, all right, because Darnold had mono. Backup Trevor Siemian got crushed and his foot got turned in 9 million different directions early in the game. Falk played. Falk. I mean, Kaepernick could have rolled in from wherever he was and been better. You know? I'm under no illusions as to where he ranks amongst his NFL peers if he becomes an NFL quarterback again. He's not a franchise quarterback. He's not. He's definitely not. And, you know, this might go nowhere. But to say that, you know, he was just because you're beaten out by somebody, there's also other politics at play. There's other things, you know, not just politics in the literal political sense, but, you know, just factors, business factors, you know. You got to understand that. Blaine Gabbert was a former first-round pick. Kaepernick was a second-round pick out of Nevada. Gabbert was a top 10 pick, 8, 7, 8, wherever he went back. He was horrible. But, you know, sometimes you...
you kick the tires and you view a talented, because Gabbert was actually a pretty good athlete, and he had a good arm. He had a baseball background, too. He had a good arm as well. And you view him as a reclamation project. Hey, maybe I could get to this guy. But just like somebody's going to do with Mariota this offseason, and possibly Jameis Winston, if the Bucs say bye-bye to him. All right, if you're on the line, sit tight. Let's go for a little inbounds, out of bounds. D-Cell, hit it up, brother. What you got?
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Stanford, what do you got today, bud?
All right, we start here in New York. Saquon Barkley has struggled since returning from an injury that kept him out nearly a month, averaging just 41 yards on the ground the past four games, including a 13-carry, one-yard effort
against
our Jets.
Say it again. How many carries?
13.
How many yards?
Uno.
Who'd he play?
Los Jets.
Keep going.
Gangrene, baby. Now, Saquon is clearly hobbled by the ankle and now has a shoulder issue that required x-rays earlier this week. But the Penn State star says he won't shut it down.
The mindset of sitting me out and resting me for the rest of the season is beyond me. I do not agree with it, and it won't happen. I'm going to keep going until I can't go no more, and that's the type of player I am, and I'm going to do that for my teammates.
Inbounds, out of bounds, the Giants should force Barkley to shut it down if he continues to struggle with injuries.
I'm going to say inbounds at this point in the season, and generally that goes against how I usually position this, because this came up with the high ankle sprain when the Giants were off to a bad start, and there were some people back then, and Tiki was a little bit more in alignment with this certainly than I was. You know what? Sit him down, kick it down the road, come back, and preserve some tread on the tires, and the odometer for the running backs is obviously paramount to being able to extend a long career. You know, he was a top five pick. You obviously want to make sure he's there for the renaissance if they ever have one. So I think that I'm gonna go against my general senses here, because now it's multiple injuries. And again, you know, coming from somebody who's had the small army of MRIs and x-rays, those things don't lie. I mean, they are what they are. And when bones are lodged and separated and tendons are, you know, going in the wrong direction or severed or split, yeah, I mean, you got to listen to the MRI report. You got to listen to the x-rays. I don't know if they're split. You got a bigger problem. Like, then he's definitely not playing. Point, you know what I'm saying. If I love his warrior spirit, because I do believe that's part of a winning template, that you've got to create a winning culture, and you want him next to Daniel Jones, even if you're theoretically 3-10 or 2-11, but at what expense? And we're getting to that point where the expense might not be worth the risk.
Are you in or are you out?
The Clippers are 7-3 on the season, despite Paul George missing the first 3 weeks. However, after working out with the team during the week, George is reportedly leaning towards making his debut tomorrow night in New Orleans against the Pelicans.
Love it.
Now, without PG-13, six-man Lou Williams is averaging 22 points.
He's awesome.
Montrezl Harrell is putting up 19. Obviously, Kawhi is leading the team in scoring. But no other player is even in double figures. So in or out, you are more concerned about the Clippers supporting cast around Kawhi and Paul George now than you were before the start of the season.
I'm going to say out of bounds here. I will put this as an asterisk. I really do think they need to find a big body. And I don't mean a big body that's going to play 30 minutes a game and, you know, viewed as a third star. But they've got to find a viable third body, somebody with some legitimate, you know, 6'11", 7 feet in height and, you know, 265. I know it's not the 80s. Trust me, I get that. But they are small up front. How tall is Harrell? What is he, 6'7"? He's small. Now, he plays with great energy, but that's going to be a problem against the Lakers. You know, if you play them in the conference finals, that's not good. So, but I say out of bounds for this reason, because think about this. They've played 10 times. They've won 7. And they've done this without Paul George. Now, when Paul George comes back, that's 30-plus minutes. And then somebody like Lou Williams, who I've always loved, he's, you know, he might be a Hall of Famer if you actually think about this in a weird way, like in an unorthodox way. He might be a Hall of Famer. He's won so many six men of the year. He's just a sniper. But now Lou Williams and Harold, now they drop down a peg in terms of responsibility, because Paul George returns and he, you know, regains that baton along with Kawhi. So I'm not concerned with the scoring. I am concerned with the size. They got to find a big body.
Are you in or are you out?
The Pittsburgh Pirates are the only team remaining of the 8 that needed a new manager after the Giants named former Philly skipper Gabe Kapler as Bruce Bochy's replacement.
Nope.
Kapler was just 161 and 163 in Philly, exceeding expectations in 2018, but then falling short of them last year, especially after Bryce Harper came aboard. So in or out, Kapler is a good hire for the Giants.
I'll say inbounds. I'm not sure it's the best hire, but brother, that's such a great job. That really is a good job. I think that first I'm going to miss Bruce, but baseball is going to miss Bruce Bochy. Bruce Bochy, he's a Hall of Famer for sure. So I say inbounds because, Mike, the way you frame this, that he exceeded expectations in 2018, which is true, but the way the season started, if you recall, he was getting booed in Philly 1 week. Actually, I think it was one game into that season. So that shows some resolve, some mettle, some adaptability. And I do like him. I also think I know because I live there. It's so different than Philly in terms of the analysis and the vitriol when things go awry. San Francisco fans are great. They're knowledgeable, but they don't look to crush you. I mean, they look for reasons to cheer rather than reasons to pounce. And I believe that they're smart enough to know, because they won 3 championships in the last decade, roughly. They're smart enough to know, including the history that came with them from New York, Willie Mays, et cetera, Juan Marichal, that they are a ways away from being good. They got holes, man. So I think Kapler's youthful energy, and he'll be better. Generally, you're better the second time around. I actually like it. I think it's a pretty good move. Inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
The Kentucky Wildcats season has been off to quite a roller coaster start.
Love it.
After opening this season with a big win over #1 Michigan State, Calipari squad took over the top ranking in the country. However, last night, the Wildcats fell to unranked Missouri Valley Conference foe Evansville.
The Purple Aces.
A team who won just 11 games last year in the Missouri Valley Conference.
Mm-hmm.
The top 10 teams in the rankings are full of college blue bloods, including Kentucky, Duke, Michigan State, Louisville, Kansas, UNC, Gonzaga, Virginia, and Villanova, all in the top 10. It's crazy.
Yep.
So in or out, it is good for NCAA basketball when the major programs are dominating throughout the season.
My answer is inbounds. This is a quick aside because you mentioned the Kentucky game to start the season, the Champions Classic, a couple of miles away at Madison Square Garden. They beat the Spartans by 7. We had one of our more poignant interviews with our good buddy Tom Izzo, who joins us every year, at least twice a year, yesterday on the show. You're going to want to go and listen to this because his conversation, what he said about Cassius Winston in that situation was some of the more, if not most, moving stuff I've ever heard on this show. I mean, it was incredible. Go to radio.com. Go to Apple iTunes. It was truly phenomenal. Tom Izzo, wow, he's amazing. It's good I do believe it is good for the NCAA when the major programs are dominating the season. Now, that doesn't mean you don't want things to get a little topsy-turvy during the tournament. Of course you do. I mean, you love the 5-12s. You love the upsets. I mean, now you have the 116 with UMBC. You love this. I mean, I remember years ago, I guess it would have been 2000. Was that 2002 or 2003? One of those two seasons when Iowa State was upset by Hampton. Remember that? That was incredible. And those are great. I mean, that's poignant basketball stuff. But you want the Blue Bloods to flex you want them to flex at Maui. You want them to flex at the Garden. You want them to flex at all these marquee, you know, preseason tournaments because it creates a template of it makes it big. It just seems bigger. If you've got like a down Kentucky team and say Jay Wright's team is rebuilding, which they're not, obviously, and some of the other teams that Mike ran through, Kansas, they just got a 5-star yesterday. I saw that. UNC, Gonzaga, although St. Mary's could be better than Gonzaga this year. Remember that. I think there's less interest as you go into the tournament. Let the big bloods lead the way, get everybody's juices flowing, and then once the Field of 65 comes out, you know, let all holy hell break loose, and I think that's the best way to best experience for an NCAA tournament and a season.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, so it was actually 2001. And I still remember the little imagery of their little coach. Remember that little guy? What was his name? Oh, I'm forgetting his name. Remember they picked him up? The guy looked like Danny DeVito when they beat Iowa State. Marcus Fizer was not on that team. He had gone to the NBA. Yeah, Fizer was gone that season. That little coach from Hampton, that was amazing. That's what makes the tournament special. All right, the Astros, problems. I mean, there's just no way around it. These guys are cheating, and they're not even trying to conceal it. You're not going to want to miss this.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.